Well, tonight, as Ann said, we're nearing the end of our series called ICU. For those of you who aren't in the medical profession, that stands for Intensive Care Unit. And we've proposed that this place, every Tuesday night, becomes an intensive care unit for the soul. That this is a place where you can come and get health, get life. If you need resuscitation, if you need the paddles, jolt your heart back to life, this is the place to be. But we're nearing the end, and we're talking about being able to leave the ICU and be able to actually go back out in the world and function. But even after you leave the ICU, it's very important, if you've got some kind of serious condition, to monitor it. In the ICU, you're often hooked up to a bunch of monitors that regularly check your heart rate, your blood pressure, maybe your body temperature, a lot of indicators of health. And while it's especially critical in the ICU, it's crucial throughout life to have a way of checking in with ourselves, to making sure that everything's ticking as it should be, that everything is moving in order. And your body is designed to stay within certain parameters, whether it's your blood sugar, your blood pressure, your heart rate, your temperature, everything God designed to stay within certain parameters, not to go too high or to go too low. If your blood pressure goes too high, you could have a stroke. You could have a heart attack. If it goes too low, you could pass out, and of course, you could die. Same thing with your blood sugar. It's not a good thing for your blood sugar to go sky high. You could go into coma. But if it bottoms out, it could also kill you. So staying in that zone where God designed your body to be is very important. And one of the ways we keep up with that is by checking something we call our vital signs. Those of you who are in medicine know that that includes your temperature, your pulse, your heart rate. And I have my little stethoscope with me tonight and my sphygmomanometer. So if anybody needs to have your blood pressure checked, blood pressure turns out to be a very good indicator of overall health and has some predictive value for how long you're going to live. Fortunately, our time here is not just about extending your human life, but about extending your life into eternity. And so regardless of how many days you have left on this planet, if God has his way, you have eternity to grow with him, to be in communion with all these people in this room. Lucky you. Because if we belong to God, we're brothers and sisters. We're part of a family that will spend eternity together. We've been through a process of the steps, and we've talked about a number of different things. We've talked about admitting powerlessness and coming to faith. We've talked about surrendering to God and doing a fearless moral inventory, confessing that to someone else. We've talked about taking stock of our character defects and being willing for God to remove them, humbly asking him to do so. And last week, we talked a little bit about making a list of people we've harmed, becoming willing to make amends, and then to taking action toward making amends, except when it would be harmful to do so. Well, that leads us up to step 10 and 11, which is what we're going to focus on tonight. And just to kind of set the stage, I want to read those two steps as they occur in the 12-step program, and then give you a couple of verses to go with those and the principle from Celebrate Recovery. Step 10 says this, continued, and of course you can put a we in front of all these steps because it's a corporate thing. It's not a solitary thing. It's something we do as part of the community of faith. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Not if we were wrong, but when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. The journey of recovery begins with humility. And guess what? It is sustained through humility. From beginning to end, we admit our powerlessness. We admit we don't have it all together. We admit we are wrong. That admission is our admission into the life of faith. It's our admission into the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus says, if you're humble, God will lift you up. But if you're proud, you'll be brought down. So this step really encourages us to go back to step one, really, to our admission of powerlessness, our admission of being wrong. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 says this, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful lest you fall." Because as we get further along in the steps, we start feeling pretty good. We're like, wow, this is great. I got my footing. I got my plan. I'm working my plan. I'm getting it done. And then we start getting a little cocky, a little prideful. And I was talking to one of our members coming in who's an alcoholic. And we were talking about how so many people who are prone to alcoholism are really can-do people. They're people who all their life have set their mind on a goal and done it, by gummit, you know, they've gotten it done. And so once they get into recovery a little bit, they'll start get back in that mode of like, hey, I got this under my belt. I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Got it covered. See you later, God. And wham, we fall if we start depending on our own power, on our own rightness. Step 11 says this, we sought, I'm adding the we there, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for, get this, praying only for everything we want, praying only for knowledge of His will and power to carry that out. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not exactly the only thing that I pray for, right? I'm praying about a lot of things I want to see happen. But step 11 says that we pray only for His knowledge, the knowledge of His will and power to carry it out. What a powerful way of engaging with God, saying, show me what you want for me. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The principle from Celebrate Recovery is very similar. It says this, this is principle 7, reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible readings, and prayer in order to know God and His will for my life and to gain power to follow His will. Pretty similar. Well, we want tonight to encourage, we want to be encouraged to increase our conscious contact with God and with our own souls. Ironically, if you think about it, where is God? Where does He reside in us? If you think about it, He resides in our hearts. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? And what is our heart? But if you think about the physical heart, it's a pump. It's what pushes the blood, the life-giving blood that carries nutrients and energy to every part of the body. So spiritually, the heart of a man is the motivation source. It's what moves us. And what I was saying is ironic is that the place that got us into trouble, our hearts, because the Bible says our hearts are deceptively wicked and they get us in all kinds of trouble. The very part of our being that has gotten us into deep trouble is where God wants to meet us. Isn't that cool? And that's why so many of you did not really encounter God as He is until you encountered the depravity of your own heart. Until you really got sick and tired of being sick and tired and just got like, God, help me out here. I am not making it. And when we get to, when we come to terms with our own hearts, that's when often we begin to meet up with God. Well, I would say that if we want to increase our conscious contact with God, it goes hand in hand with increasing our conscious contact with our own spirit, with our own soul, with our own heart. Because if God is going to speak to us in our hearts, and our hearts are filled with clamoring voices of all kinds, God is not going to be heard in there. Because we've got all these competing voices clamoring for recognition, for love, for affection, for power, for prestige, for finances, for food. You know, we've got all these voices, and the still small voice of God is not going to be heard very well if we don't listen first to the voice of our own heart and kind of make peace with it, get it out. There's a verse in the Bible, it's Proverbs 4:23, and if you don't know this verse, it's a great verse. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else. Aren't you curious? What does the Bible say above all else? above all else, it says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Well, that's very key to what this step is talking about. It's talking about taking a personal inventory, guarding your heart, keeping it cleaned out, keeping it in order, keeping it open to your own inspection and ultimately to the inspection of God. Well, how do we do that? How do we practically follow through with step 10? Well, as I said in the principle, Celebrate Recovery talks about reserving a quiet time, a special time, a daily time for meeting with your own soul and meeting with God. How many of you are in the habit of having a regular quiet time or a daily time when you purpose to check in with your own soul and to check in with God? How many, a bunch of you? Quite a few of you do that already. Some of you do it a little more sporadically. Some of you do it at various times. But for many people, establishing a discipline of a time when I meet with my own soul and meet with God is really an important thing. When we first start this discipline of daily inspection of our own soul, daily reaching out to God, it's a hard thing, because if we're not used to listening to what's going on with our own soul, it can be rather frustrating, rather confusing. I may have shared with some of you about when I first started in a course in medical school called IPE. It was called Introduction to Patient Evaluation. And one of the first things we did was we got a little stethoscope, and we started going around with some of the doctors and listening to various patients' heartbeat. And they were beginning to help us distinguish the first sound from the second sound, to distinguish a murmur from a rub or a click. And as we began to listen to hearts, we began to get more and more acquainted with what they sounded like. But when I first started, I remember very well how frustrated I was, because all I heard was noise. Part of it was the earpieces weren't quite big enough for my ears, and there was not a good fit there, so I wasn't hearing very clearly. But even after I got the right earpieces, I remember thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this. It's too confusing. They're like, oh, do you hear that little systolic ejection murmur? I'm like, no. I don't hear anything, much less a systolic ejection murmur. So I had to do a lot of practicing. What I can tell you is the more you practice, the more you put this little thing up with the little things in your ear. That always helps. And there more than once I went in to listen to somebody's heart with them like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Embarrassing. I do things like that. But you know, when you've got the little earpieces in and you put it on somebody's chest or on their lungs and begin to listen, you begin to hear more and more. You begin to figure out what normal is, so that at least when something's abnormal, even if you're not sure if it's a rub or a click or a murmur, you know something's wrong. You know something is amiss. And so if you guys will make it a habit of listening to your own heart, you're going to begin to figure out what normal is. You're going to begin to figure out what peace sounds like. And when something is amiss, you may not know immediately what it is, but you're going to know something ain't right. That just ain't right. You know, there's something amiss. And that's when you press in. That's when you begin to ask yourself, what is going on? Why do I not feel peace? Why am I restless? Why am I on the prowl? Ever been on the prowl? Like looking for something to satisfy that urge? What's going on? Is it because there's a relationship issue? Is it because I'm sleep deprived? Is it because of what I've been eating or not eating? But there's something going on when my heart is not right, when my heart is not at rest. So many of us have our hearts crowded with so much that God really doesn't have any place to fit. I know I've shared this with you before, but I love the scene from Aladdin where Aladdin is like engaged with the genie. And of course, the genie's this big blue guy, voice of Robin Williams, you know, and Aladdin, they're having this great time. And Aladdin goes, wow, it must be fantastic to be a genie. You've got this awesome cosmic power. And the genie goes, yeah, you got this awesome cosmic power, but an itty bitty living space. Because, as you know, the genie has to go back in the little lamp. Well, God, who has this awesome cosmic power, chooses to go back into your itty bitty heart. And if your heart is cluttered with fear, with anger, with resentment, with bitterness, with pride, with arrogance, with pettiness, with all kinds of garbage, there's nowhere for him to get comfortable, much less initiate a dialogue with you, because all these other voices are competing with that still small voice. So you can see maintaining a regular inventory with your own heart and listening for the voice of God are intimately connected. If you want to hear the heart of God, you got to listen to your own heart as well. You got to clear it out. One of the best ways to do that is to journal. Okay, how many of you journal at least once a week on a regular basis? Wait, raise them high. Come on. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. You have no idea how much value there is in writing down your thoughts, your feelings, and the events of your life. Writing it down helps you to become more clear about what's there. Because if you start writing and you think, I don't know, I just feel negative today. I just feel dread, or I just feel hopeless. You may not know what that's about, but as you write with a curious heart, you're likely to figure out, you know what? I think it's because I had a fight with Kelly last night and she was mean. or I feel disappointed. I think it's just that I feel disappointed that I'm not further along in my recovery. And then as you write about that, then you'll find that once you get your own perspective out of the way, you may find that you suddenly become aware of God's perspective, which is often very different. When he's going to say something like, yes, you could be farther along, but you're where you are and you're where I have you. And today is my day. And you don't have to live in regret, and you don't have to live in resignation or depression or hopelessness, because I am with you. I am here. I am your healer. I am completely devoted to you, and I will be here for the rest of the day. And if you wake up tomorrow, I'll be there. But stick with today, one day at a time. There's so many things that God wants to share with us, but he's limited if we enter into judgment or self-blame. Because if God wants to get Jean's attention about something and she starts beating herself up, God has to back off, because the last thing he wants is Jean to start beating herself up. What he wants is to be able to reveal his heart for us and us to be able to receive it with hope and faith and courage and not with judgment. I can tell you, your capacity to know your own soul is limited by your tendency to pass judgment and blame. Because there's a lot of crud that God wants to reveal in your soul and get rid of it. But the minute you start entering into blame and judgment, you go sink like a lead weight to the bottom of the tank. And God does not want you there. So he's got to be very gentle with you. But when you start realizing that we are all alike, and whatever I judge Tiger Woods for, I could be easily guilty of the same thing, then God can reveal that part of my heart that's pitiful and petty, that's lustful or lying. And I can look at that and I can go, oh my word, I hate seeing that. That's pretty ugly, isn't it, God? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty ugly. But I don't have to go like, such an idiot. Can't believe it, you know. Because when I do that, it produces death. And trust me, I've been around that bush over and over and over again. And I'm beginning to realize that God has had his hands tied with me because he wants to show me my heart, not so that I'll feel like a piece of dog poop, but so that I'll be able to go like, wow, you mean there's something better? There's something I could be seeing. And it, of course, the more I see of my own soul, the more it allows me to feel just like the rest of you and to embrace you and your brokenness and pain and hurt. So I want to just quickly talk about this idea of journaling, because and I'll probably spend a whole session on it sometime, because I can tell you that if you haven't done it on a regular basis, you're really missing opportunities to go deeper and fly higher with God. If you will journal in your worst moments, when you were feeling like the pond scum at the bottom of the tank, or in your best moments when you understand that God has spoken something very powerful to you. Both of those times are great times to mine for what God has for you as you go deeper with him. Well, a couple other things about this idea of keeping a daily inventory. Just get in the habit of asking yourself at the beginning of every day or at the end of every day, what went well today? What can I celebrate? Where did God show up? What did I accomplish that can be useful for others or for me? Where did I mess up? Where did I blow it? What opportunities did I miss? And what can I learn from my day to day? That kind of inventory will help you. Some families have the habit of doing high point and low point at supper. You know, what was the high point of your day? What was the low point? Just that little inventory often will yield great wisdom and great joy and laughter at times too. Because my high points are sometimes pretty high and my low points are pretty pathetic sometimes. But they all can be instructive. Be sure that you're getting the Word of God in you. We sang a song, You're My Daily Bread. This is the air I breathe. The Word of God is like food for your soul. And so having a time when you study or meditate on the Word, where you memorize Scripture and chew on it, for those of you who have never memorized Scripture, you will find it is amazing how having the Word inside of you helps when you're in a bind, God can bring that verse to mind. Look at something like Galatians 5:23 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Memorize that. Do your inventory. Am I showing love today? Am I full of peace? Is there joy? Is there patience? Is there kindness? Is there gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Are those fruits showing up in me? Because that inventory will encourage you to grow. Make sure that you're going to meetings. Make sure that you have people that are supporting you, that are friends. Make sure that you're getting exercise and eating well. I can tell you, for some of you, eating poorly can derail your whole program. For me, ask my wife. She's back in the back. Wave at everybody, honey. This is my wife, Terry, back there. If I eat a lot of junk, if I eat a lot of sugar, if we go to a party and have a bunch of cake and ice cream, the next day, I am likely to be very gnarly, very irritable, kind of like looking for a fight, you know? Some of you don't believe that, but it's true. Ask Terry. So I have to be careful about what I eat. I have to be careful that I get enough rest. I have to be careful that I take time for myself, that I carve out time to go, to step aside and to be with my own soul and with God. There's much more that can be said about this idea of conscious contact, about meditation, about prayer, about Bible study. One of my habits is when I wake up in the middle of the night, if that's a good time for me to do an inventory, because a lot of times I'm stirred up about something, so I'll journal a little bit, and then maybe I'll listen to the Scripture on tape. Perfect way for me to settle my soul and get back to sleep. Find ways to nurture your soul. Find times when you can do this daily inventory and when you can press in to expand your conscious contact with God. You will not regret it. Worship is a great way to do that, and tonight we're going to give you an opportunity while a song is playing. If you would like to come up front and partake of communion, this is an opportunity for you to do so. Ultimately, we've all been hungry for something more in our life. And some of us have turned to food, some to alcohol, some to relationships, some to making money. But I can tell you that if you belong to God, the deepest hunger of your soul is a hunger for God. And I believe that addiction is a spiritual disease. And for most of you, you thought that that hunger inside of you could be filled by something that the earth had, and you found out it wasn't there. It wasn't in cocaine. It wasn't in porn. It wasn't in power or prosperity. The hunger you have is a hunger for God. And when you partake of communion, what you're saying is, God, I want to taste your goodness. I want to take you in. I want to be filled by you. I want you to be the thing that I long for above everything else. So we're going to play a song. You'll have a chance. Those of you who want to, this is totally up to you. But to come forward and to take the cup and the bread. And remember that Jesus came and walked this planet feeling the same pain that you feel, suffering the same temptations that you suffer, so that when, as he partook of your flesh and blood, you could now partake of his flesh and blood. You could find something fresh in his life. When we judge, when we blame, when we compare ourselves to others, we're eating of a tree that God never wanted us to eat of, and that's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of right and wrong. And whenever we judge, whenever we blame, whenever we excuse or justify, we're eating of a tree of death. But when we come to Jesus, we set aside blame, we set aside judgment, we set aside condemnation and self-righteousness, and receive his grace, it's the tree of life. So come tonight, eat of the tree of life, eat of Jesus' body and blood, which he says is real food and real drink, and invite him to be at home in your heart. Make a commitment today to take that daily inventory and to strive to expand and maintain your conscious contact with God. Let's pray, and at the conclusion of the prayer, we'll have the song and the communion. Let's pray. God, we thank you. You are so good to us to give us your Son, that he came and partook of our flesh and blood, that we can partake of his flesh and blood and have life indeed. Thank you that he suffered death so that we might know life. As we take, Lord, examine our hearts, call us and draw us to you, that we might have life with you now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.